had it all opened up, and I closed it without thinking. All right, we are in Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe we're, getting ready to start in verse 4. As always, the booklets are available online on the website, or we do have some new ones freshly printed off at the entryway that Andrew would be happy to make sure that you get if you so need. But so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Really what we're going to be getting at and looking at this evening is, and as we shared, and it seems like almost every chapter we've tried to express and to share this, the idea of how much better we have it is what the author is trying to get us to understand, how much better our life is under the covenant with Christ than what has been given to even the Jews that they had. It's been a couple weeks since we had verses 1 through 3, but in verse 4, it's going to be a reminder of that. It's kind of a culmination of those three verses that we had looked at a few weeks ago. But all that has been said in those first three verses is to lead us to one conclusion. And that's, the blood of animals cannot take away the memory of a bad conscience resulting from sins. When they obeyed God in the offering of animal sacrifices, they were forgiven. But they still had the remembrance of their sins. The Lord, with the Mosaic Law and what we had discussed this morning, gave them this opportunity to have their sins rolled forward, to have their sins remitted. But at the same time, it did not bring about a clear conscience. We are reminded in 1 Peter 3:21, though, how we can get a clear conscience. Now, the problem is, what we have to do is have as much faith in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, have just as much faith in the fact that when we are immersed into Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and our consciences are made clear. In the mind of God, those sins are gone. However, as we've shared many times before, who can be our own worst enemy? We can be. Because even others may forgive us. The Lord has certainly forgiven us. But sometimes we have a hard time of moving on beyond that. And when that becomes the case, it's almost as if we are living as these Hebrews were back nearly 2,000 years ago, wanting to go back to something different. But as we try to remind you every night during that, to go back is not good. To go back is not better. But to move forward is what the Lord wants for us to do. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of goats, the blood of bulls and goats, to take away sins. But you know, the blood of Jesus did. While the Old Testament sacrifices could not remove sin because they were not a willing sacrifice that was willing to intercept the wrath of God, while the blood of an unwilling, innocent animal did not remove sin, the blood of God in the flesh can and does. This is one reason why Jesus came and took on human flesh. Human sin requires a human sacrifice. We've mentioned that several times throughout this study. Throughout the year, sin offerings would have been made whenever they were needed to be made. But then on the Day of Atonement, another sin offering for the people was offered. This offering was for sin that had already had some sacrifice offered for it. Any worshiper would have learned that these sacrifices did not take away the sin, but they were typical in that they were a type pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Now, I know it can go back to so many chapters before, almost every chapter before, 1 through 9, and see and almost recall the same concept. And it sounds like, why do we keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again? Well, I have a feeling through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, our Hebrew author knew how big of a struggle current Hebrew Christians were having, and many of them were alive yet during the time of Christ. And so how would it be for us as Christians so many years later to still have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as being better? 10:5 says, it was the plan from eternity that animal blood sacrifice would not be sufficient for the forgiveness of sin. These earlier offerings of sacrifice always pointed in the direction of being a type of forgiveness that only Christ makes possible. And that's why when we go back to the very first sin in the garden, and we see that all that transpired and took place, that with that first sin had to be given then the first promise, the first messianic promise, that what was going to happen, and I believe it was Rick that was covering this area, the fall of man, and then even sins of man to come, that all that would happen would not bring full restitution to the individual that had committed the sins. However, Jesus Christ has made that on this side of the cross so much better for us. And, you know, if you could go back and spend some time in history, I think it would do us as modern Christians to go back to this time during the Hebrews that, or the Israelites that were wanting to go back to the old law. Just so we could see and understand, why would you want to do that? But you know what? There are Christians today that not want to go back to the old law, but just want to go back to the old way of life. It was that plan from eternity that the blood of bulls and goats would not be sufficient. Hebrews 10:5 says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. We oftentimes think, you know, especially when you deal with kids, it's easy for us to understand that situation. But let's say dad gets home from work, kid rushes to the door, says, Dad, Daddy, I'm sorry. I didn't listen to what mommy said, and I broke the cookie jar. And so we look at that and we say, well, you know, that shows a lot from that little kid. That they come and they confess their sins, they acknowledge to the Father their shortcomings, how they disobeyed, and they're seeking out forgiveness. They want things to be made right. We say, boy, that's a good thing. But I don't think God looks at it for us like that because of verses like this. You know what God would desire for us and from us instead of us repenting and being sorrowful? is obedience. That sacrifice, that offering that we give, even maybe the child is old enough to say, go ahead and punish me. Right? Give me, ground me for what I did. That's like us saying, Lord, I know I deserve, hell for this. But do you really want that? And the only thing that makes that better is not in our change of mind, but that God has His change of mind towards us. Repentance is necessary. Our change of mind to produce a change of action is something that absolutely needs to happen. But God would much rather have us obey from the outset and the onset than to have to come to Him later. What He prefers is a prepared body for Him. I believe this is talking about a body that is obedient, a body that has denied self, a body that has denied the outreach of the world's arms, a body that we use for service for Him and for His kingdom. The writer will use the Old Testament scriptures to prove the weakness of animal sacrifices, and we've looked at those. The purpose of Christ coming into the world as a man may be expressed in these words taken from Psalm 46 through 8. And that's why if you notice them in the text, they're the capitalized. That means they're taken from the Old Testament text. But the sacrifice of offering of animals or produce is what the Lord, the sacrifice and offering of animals or produce in what the Lord really wants from us is a sacrifice and is in reference to animals, and offerings is in reference to grain, meal, or drink, as He talks about those things. The body of Jesus is what is meant in that the Hebrew writer is quoting the Greek Old Testament, which we know as the Septuagint, which says, a body you have prepared. The Hebrew text says, you have opened up my ears. And it goes back to what Josh had shared with us this morning. So do we as God's people, let's go back to the text in which he was reading this morning out of Deuteronomy. Do they hear what God's message is? When they go to the church services, did they hear what preacher Moses was saying? Yeah, they heard. But what good is it if the message only goes ear deep? Or even it does get into our mind and says, preacher, right? I could just see them after the Sabbath day service there, they're shaking Moses' hand. You really made me think today, preacher Moses. But what's thinking do for you? Right? Not much. We've got to put it into action. And as was pointed out, we fail. Over and over and over and over again. But we need to have our ears opened up. This is also translated to have the dug out my ears. Now, have you ever seen those crazy ear-burning things that you can stick in your ear and light them on fire, and they smoke, and it draws the wax out and everything. You all know what I'm getting at, right? You've seen that, right? Or, especially those of you here that are teachers, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday school or if it's at school or whatever, that you sit there and watch the kid for 3 minutes dig into their ear, right? And then it's almost just like the booger. You know where it's gonna go, right? Right? I just made Isaiah Pope really cringe right there, right? But you know where it's going to go. And it's like, so you had to dig it out of their ears. That's what it's saying, is that it's really impacted in there. And when we talk about that, we're not talking about wax. But we're talking about the world. We're talking about the sinful nature and those things that keep us from hearing what we ought to hear. We have revival coming up in October, and our goal is that we'll bring in the speaker and we'll maybe have some friends and family be able to show up and they'll listen. But as we've shared, and I know Gary shares this thought many times, is it is our responsibility to prepare the soil for them to hear. That's why, you know, yes, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that were saved. But you know what? They'd had the last 50 days to think about what had happened by putting Jesus on the cross. Their soil was ready. And so what we do is we bring in visitors, or we bring in our neighbors, we bring in our family members, and we, having done nothing to try to influence their thinking, we want for the preacher to give a message, and then when it's over and they don't come forward, we are in utter disbelief and shock, aren't we? Because we'll sit there and we'll be like, how could they not respond to such a great message? Well, because the soil wasn't ready. Their ears were still plugged. We need to help them dig it out so that they can listen. If God can make man's ears, then he's able to make the rest of him. This is like that of digging a well, taking away the dirt to get to the meaningful. The body of Jesus is more meaningful than that of bulls and goats and sheep and calves. What he's saying is, you've got to get past all these things that's plugging your hearing to those Israelites, to those Jews. And he's saying, you need to get over. Pull the bull out of your ear. Ooh, that could have got nasty real quick, right? Pull the goats out of your ears. Pull the sheep out of your ears. Pull the calves out of your ears and put in it Jesus. Put in it the message of Jesus. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." God does not want a mere multiplication of Old Testament sacrifices. What He does want is a life that is willing to be a gift. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I always refer to this as the Don Cooper verse, because this is one of the things he'll tell anybody that's struggling with anything, is you need to get up every morning and this is what we need to say. Think this verse, and especially the second verse, but it says, "Therefore I urge you," as Paul says, "brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so as we look at that, and it talks about, and we touched on this morning, what is that act of service of worship? Well, this here isn't our typical word that is used for worship, which means to adore or to kiss forward. This is more not of our praiseworthy situation, but of our work, of our effort, of our deeds, of our actions. And now, you know it, I know it, you're going to meet people that say, "See, you think you have to earn your salvation." No, that's not at all what is being said there. What is saying is, since you've been saved, Jesus wants to know, what have you done for me lately? In other words, you can't just think about it. You can't just talk about it. You have to do something to show what our effort is. That is our service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do we find ourselves wanting to be conformed to the world? Even as Christians, as we get older, I wish that would become, and don't get me wrong, the younger generation has a whole different slew of bombardment and sins being thrown at them. But younger generation, I want you to know that those things don't go away the older you get. Satan comes at you from different angles with different things to make us want to give in. And so don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is the part that Don Cooper talks about, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know what? He says you have to get up every day, maybe before your feet hit the ground, and say, I'm going to work for Jesus today. You have to make up your mind to carry that out in action and in deed. For what reason? So that you may prove what the will of God is. How do you prove? I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And so you better believe me. That's how I prove it. Because I'm going to tell you how awesome of a Christian I am. And you better believe it. I'm going to tell you how great of a guy I can be. And you better believe it. Or do we humble ourselves to the knee, become a servant of the Lord, and transform by the renewing of our mind on a daily basis, that this life and my efforts are not about me, but all about Him? That's how we prove what the will of God is. The will of God is not just, I'm not saying that it's not included, but it's not just talking to somebody about Jesus. Well, what do you mean? Isn't that? We can talk, but you know what's really effective? Have them sit down and open up their Bible across from you and read from their Bible. Have them do something about it. Because a lot of times people will say, yeah, well, that all sounds good. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. That makes sense to me. But what they have to do is, if we look this morning, is that they have to make it personal. It's not enough to listen to what has been shared with you, what has been told to you, but how do we mesh having the rubber meet the road? How can we talk like a Christian and then live like the Christian? That's what he's telling us here. That's what's good. That's what's acceptable. And that's what's perfect. 10:6. God has never desired sacrifices above human obedience. If man had obeyed, in fact, he would not have needed sacrifices at all. But this was true from the beginning of Israel's history to the time of the great writing prophets of the 8th century. The phrases we will see in this verse will be described by whole burnt offerings being for voluntary sacrifices. And there, when we're talking about the prophets of the 8th century, 8th century B.C., is what we're referring to, back to Isaiah's and Jeremiah's, and then all the minor prophets as well. But the phrases sacrifice for sin speaks of sin and trespass offering. God viewed these things with no pleasure. Sin hinders God from being able to look at people with pleasure. That's why when somebody says, God just wants me to be happy, that's why it's okay for me to cheat on my spouse. First of all, God doesn't want you to be happy when it comes to breaking His commands. Matter of fact, happiness is not even that guarantee, But God gives us things that if we do, he says, if you do these things, read the Beatitudes, if you do these things, you'll be a happy person. And when people come and say, I'm just not happy, one of the easiest things we can do is, so how you doing carrying out the Beatitudes? Right? The very first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because I guarantee you, if you're shouting that God wants you to be happy, then you're struggling with the very first one. Now, God gives us things we can do that will lead to happiness, but I know people that do those that still aren't happy. Because it's an attitude that you have to make up. That's why it's called the happy attitudes, the be attitudes, the blessed attitudes. Looking with pleasure has to do with the forgiveness of sins, so that God can look at the sinner with pleasure. Because I guarantee you, sin in our life does not bring him pleasure. But looking at us and not seeing that sin brings him pleasure. In the Old Testament, sins were covered and not cleansed. Romans 3:25 says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as a substitution in his blood through faith, referring to Christ, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Hebrews 10:6. In whole, burnt offerings and sacrifices are for sin, and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Each type of offering under the old covenant served a particular purpose. And all are included under the present principles. Sacrifice was the regular term for the peace offering. Conciliation for the restoring of fellowship. Offering was the generic term for the meal or cereal offering, a donation representing the consecration of the giver. Burnt offering indicates the oblation, expressing worship. The sin offering was made for expiation or atonement. And whatever the purposes and whatever the offering, none was God's first choice for man. It is better to maintain fellowship than to restore it. Right? Think about that. Whether it's a friendship, a marriage, whatever, it's better to maintain that than for there to have been a severance brought there and have to restore it. To show consecration by a life than by an offering. To worship by giving oneself than a burnt animal. As we looked this morning and we made reference to Coop's class of Leviticus. So, you brought the animal to the priest and maybe you even had a part in that. But did that really change you? But for the Jews that were able to look and to see Christ on the cross and know that they were the ones that put him there. And for us, 2,000 years later, to know that our sin put him there. Do, as we pointed out this morning, that even if it was just me, right, he would have went to the cross. Even if it was just me, he would have went to the cross. Even just one person needed forgiving, he would go to the cross. And as we look at this, it's a reminder to us that every one of us needs that forgiveness, that atonement. It is better, we read that, to show consecration by a life than by offering, to worship by giving oneself, than a burnt animal, to obey than to atone for disobedience. God simply wanted human conformity to his will, manifested in sincere and loving obedience. Christ came to give this, and the Father gave him a body for that purpose. He has given us our spiritual work, our spiritual effort, our spiritual endeavor. Not so that we look good, but to bring Him glory, to bring Him honor. Christ had lived a perfect life, sinless, stain-free, and then gave it up for us. No animal did that. But this is what was done by the Son, because it made the Father happy. Would you like to make the Father happy this evening? Would you like to be one that the Father is excited to see you coming home? That the Father wants obedience rather than sacrifice? To put this into the Old Testament vernacular of if they wanted to go back, the Father would much rather have the fatted calf to be used as celebration than for sacrifice. He wants for us to come to Him. The sacrifice is for us. Come to Him before it's too late. There's a plan of salvation that's given in the Bible. It tells us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ and who He is. We need to repent of our sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and do our best to live faithfully. What this Hebrew people, these Hebrew Christians struggled with was living for Jesus. They were like us to some degree. Perhaps maybe some of them became Christians, didn't see Christ on the cross. And they liked having something tangible, even though it makes no sense to go back to the blood or to the blood of animals over the blood of Jesus. I'll just say this. Man has not always been known for making the best decisions in the world. But to follow Jesus is the best that you could do. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this evening?
We're going to sing two verses of "Tis So Sweet."